Welcome to the Foresight Church podcast. Enjoy this week's sermon. For more information about us, go to foresightchurch.co.za.
To that. Is that good? All right, wonderful. So I'm going to introduce to you our resident guitarist virtuoso, our maestro, and also our preacher extraordinaire. This is Jakes van der Merwe. Give him a hand.
Hello, church. Right. Can everybody hear me okay? Sounds good. Cool. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Jakes. For those of you that do know me, it's a familiar face in an unfamiliar space. So what I'd like you guys to do is let's just give Jesus a praise offering. Let's just celebrate. Yes! Awesome. Cool. So I want to ask you guys, have you ever had a day in your life where everything has just been so good? Everything just lines up sort of 100% good, and it's just one of those days where you think, if I could relive this day for the rest of my life every single day, it would just be heaven and bliss. Yeah. Hey? We've had those days, whether it be the day that your child is born and you're holding your newborn child, or the day that you marry the love of your life, or that day that you just spend with good friends and family, and you just connect and you make wonderful memories. And there's a phrase for that. There's a catchphrase for that. And it's called, the best day ever. Right? And today, Resurrection Sunday, is the best day ever. Amen. For all of us. Right? Okay, so I'm going to look at Luke 24. I'm just going to read it quickly, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. See, Jesus had just been crucified, right, on the Friday, and the Saturday was a Sabbath. They couldn't really do much, but I could just imagine what that atmosphere must have been like. An atmosphere and a feeling of defeat. Maybe a feeling of disappointment. And leading up to this moment in Luke 24 where they realized that the tomb had been rolled away, I can't help but just wonder what went through the apostles' minds and those that followed Jesus and that loved Jesus. I mean, if I was thinking about it, like, if Judas had to just wait a little bit longer, his outcome would have been very different, right? And for them, in the space of, and so for them and the sake of humanity to come, in the space of 3 days, it went from the worst day ever to the best day ever for them and for us. But you see, if Jesus had just died on the cross and not resurrected and risen, it just would have been an incredible sacrifice. And we would not know Jesus today. We would know about him, but we wouldn't know him, right? So what does it mean in our context today for us? Because we weren't there. Yes, we didn't experience it. We didn't experience the emotion that they did. But what does it mean for us in our daily lives? And often we become complacent and we become numb when we're living out our lives and we forget we literally forget that Jesus lives beyond the grave, right? Okay? And what we do is we forget that he's tangible and he's wanting to be a part of every single area of our lives and be in relationship with us. That's what the resurrection has allowed and has done for us, right? And we get reminded now how we are absolutely nothing without him. And we all know that we are born into this world with a sinful nature. And in some way, whether directly or indirectly, that sin leaves a residue. It leaves a mark, a stain. And I'm coming to you today to remind us that Jesus has risen, and those stains and those marks of that sin has got no power over us anymore. But yet, we live in Saturday. We live in Saturday. We let that stuff grip us and take a hold of us and affect us instead of living in Sunday, in the resurrection, and living a life with Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. So we're all stained. And we live our lives trying to cover up these stains. And I'm coming to you today from a place of humility. Because I'm stained. You guys are stained. And you might not know my stains, but I know my stains. I wake up every morning with them. I know the thoughts that I think. I know the things that I pass a blind eye to. I know those things that have a hold over my life. And we are all stained. So back when I was working in the corporate environment, I used to travel to Rosebank for work, and I would stop every morning for my daily Seattle coffee, right? It was like a routine for me. I would always do it. And on one particular morning, I had to go present a massive presentation to one of our big clients, and I had to go straight to the client from home, but I still stopped at Seattle when I got my coffee. And those of you that know me well will know that I have a tendency to be a little bit clumsy at times. And as you can guess, what happened, I got back into my car, ready to drink this goodness, and I spilt it all over my shirt, my clean shirt. And from that moment on, everybody that I encountered, when I looked them in the eyes, they looked at my stain. Now, something that had been clean was damaged by something that they didn't necessarily experience, but it was visible to them, right? And no matter how much we try and hide these stains, and we often look at it only from our perspective, where we only look down and at us, we notice them, but for the rest of the world to see, they're there. The stains are there. And I don't know what stains you guys are walking around with. I don't know what stains are on your lives. Maybe it's secrets. Maybe it's secrets that secrets in your family. I'm waiting for my painter to come up and paint me with secrets. Fail, Carabo. Fail. So maybe you've been stained with secrets. There's secrets in your family. Those things that in the quiet places, those things that you do, and the things that you think when nobody's looking. Maybe it's secrets out of conversations that you've had with other people. And those secrets have stained you. They've left their mark on you. And if undealt with, what they'll do is they start compounding. And what we generally do is we leave them occasionally, and we come and we do church. Okay? But then we go back to those secrets, and they keep staining us. And that stuff leaves a residue on us, right? And maybe you don't have secrets. Maybe you've been stained by trauma. Whether something that you could control or something that was out of your control. Or maybe it's trauma that you have inflicted on other people around you, the people that you love. Thanks, Jess. And, you know, it's those things that may have happened in your childhood that you just can't let go of. I didn't know that the things I did in my 20s and my teens would actually affect me in my 30s and my 40s later on in life. And the more we try and bury those things, eventually they catch up to us. And now I go into my marriage with that pain from my childhood. And then I start raising my kids and that stuff filters down into my family. And you might be sitting there today and you might be saying, listen, Jakes, I'm pretty like straight down the line. I don't have any secrets. And I've had a pretty good life. I've never really experienced trauma. But maybe there's something that's even more real for you. And that's addiction. See, that thing that you turn to lift you up, that Seattle coffee every morning, that thing that just gives you a kick, that when you have a small headache, that handful of multicolored painkillers that you need to take. You see, the thing about addiction is it goes away. Goes away. But we always come back to it. So just one more, please. One more hit, one more time. I just need that thing one more time. And we go away, but just one more, please.
One more. Space. Turn around, bud.
There you go. And that's what addiction does to us. And whether that addiction is a person or a substance, you always come back to it. And now, that addiction has stained me. It stained us. And it's left a residue. And then there's still some of you that are thinking, listen, I don't even have addictions, okay? I'm good. I'm great. What about idols? What about idols? You see, anything that exalts itself above God is an idol. And for some of us, it's our families. Hey, we picture perfect family and take a selfie, just get our good side, okay? And for some of us, it's things. It's our house or our cars or our material things that we covet. For some of us, it's our careers and our success. And you know what idols do, guys? See, when you place something above God, it's an idol. Doesn't matter what it is and how much you try and justify it, right? And what that idol does is it stains you and it marks you. And eventually what happens is we find our identity in those things and in those idols instead of finding our identity in Christ, okay? And we become self-righteous, we become judgmental, and we start neglecting the things that we should be focusing on, and we focus on things that we shouldn't be focusing on. And maybe that's it. Maybe there's something that you could never control. Maybe it's something that you've never asked for. Maybe it's neglect. Dad, why did you take your life when I was a young child? Why did you leave? I needed you to navigate life as a teenager. Why is work more important than us, your family? Why did the church have to hurt me when I was vulnerable and use me? See, guys, these are stains of neglect. And all of this can get summed up in sin. Right? So all of this is summed up in sin. Sin is that thing that continuously stains us and leaves a residue. And the thing about sin is it comes out in every area and every form, at home, in our workplace. And it comes to rob you, and it reminds you of your faults and your pain. And it promises you absolutely everything, but gives you nothing. See, our world is suffering by being stained by sin. And sometimes we get so used to the sin that it becomes such a part of our lives that we do it to ourselves willfully. Now, in Romans 3:23, it says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But then, in verse 24, it says this: "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus." See, guys, God's plan right from the beginning was never to leave us like this. Okay? So he sends Jesus, a savior, a redeemer, dies for our sins, almost like the sanitizer of our stains. Okay? And every sin that you would, could, and have made, God sent Jesus to wash that all away. And he actually becomes sin. In Corinthians 2:5-21, it actually says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So he didn't just wash our sin away. He became sin. And he took it on. He took it on himself. And I'm going to illustrate this quickly. I want you to imagine your life pure, untouched by sin. Absolutely pure. Then I want you to imagine your life being touched by sin. Right? Don't worry, I won't spill on the carpet. So that's what your life looks like with sin. Okay? And what we tend to do is we tend to take that sin and we run to religion to try and cleanse us. We try and cleanse the sin and we try and wash it and we do all of this. And when that does not work, that's what religion does. Makes everything murky and dirty, right? When that doesn't work, we decide to take things into our own hands and do things in our own strength. And we go do self-help, read all the self-help books that we can. We turn to an alternative lifestyle and maybe substances and that kind of stuff. And we go and we try and cleanse ourselves once again. And before you know it, you can't even recognize who you used to be. Okay? But God gave us the answer right from the start. And you're looking at me and you're saying, "But Jakes, that looks the same." And that's exactly what they thought when Jesus died. A crucifixion was an ordinary death in those days. But Jesus wasn't ordinary. And just when they thought it was finished, they gave Jesus the platform to prove that he's God. Right? And Jesus comes, and what happens at the cross is he takes all our sin away and he washes and he cleanses and he says, "That trauma, I'll take it. That pain, I'll take it. That hurt, I'll take it." To the point where he cleanses us. Okay? But that's not all he does. It's not just that. Then what he does, so this is transformation right here, okay? That's transformation of your life. When you invite Christ into your life, all that sin and all those stains, you get transformed and you become new. But, okay, what he does is he says, that's not enough. All this murkiness and rubbish that you've caused, all of this, that's collateral damage that's affected your family and the people that you love. He takes his redeeming love and he pours it out onto your family, onto your co-workers, onto your friends, onto every area of your life. And you get cleansed. See, what does the cross and the tomb, the empty tomb, actually tell us? It tells us that Jesus took our stains and said, give it to me. I'll trade you. I'll trade you for that. Just take it. Take it off. And give it to me. Chris, trade me. Jesus says, trade me. And that's fine, don't worry. It's okay. So Jesus says, trade me, I'll take it. I'll take it. And you're saying to yourself now, Jakes, there's still a little bit of something on your shirt. You still got something there. Yes, I do. You know what that is? That's my testimony. Okay? And we now live in this relationship with Christ. Yes, we remember where we came from. And that becomes part of our story as we live life with Christ and we reflect Jesus, okay? And everything that we would be considered guilty of has been stripped away and we've been redeemed. And when I think about the cross and I think about the events, I can't help but wonder how hectic Saturday must have been. You know, like there was no guarantee that Jesus was coming back. You know, it seemed absolutely hopeless. And maybe in your life today, you're sitting there and you think that your situation is absolutely hopeless. It's beyond what Jesus can do for you. But you see, Jesus has resurrection power. And he's traded the stains of humanity and put them on so that we can actually walk in freedom. Right? And why then do we keep living in Saturday? Why then do we keep going back to these things, these stains, why do we keep romanticizing about these things that stained us? Where we should be living in Sunday, in the freedom with Christ in our lives. And what we do is we either choose death, because Jesus has done it all. He's played his part. It's now for us, we either choose death or we choose life. We choose Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Okay? The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. So I become brand new. And the same spirit that has raised Christ from the dead is that spirit that will enable you to live and to really live. See, his plan wasn't just to get you from stained and sinful to clean. He wants to take you to a place where you're sustained. Okay? Where you live your life with him. In it. And he redeems you. And he takes whatever you have, whatever natural you have, he takes his supernatural and he combines it and turns that into your testimony. And that, then, he becomes the thing that sustains you. And you become a reflection of his goodness and his love. And all he needs is for you to accept it. It's that simple. Just needs you to accept it. See, when you live your life in a relationship with Jesus, you truly live free. And it's not to say that there aren't going to be hardships and life's not going to be difficult. But you see, with Jesus in your life, that residue of sin has got no hold over your life. There's victory over that stuff. And there's been victory over that stuff before it even happened. From the beginning of time, it's always been God's plan. It's always been His agenda. So today, guys, is the best day ever. There's nothing. You see, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, right, we would not be able to know Him. We would know about Him, but that man would be dead, right? By Him resurrecting, we have the opportunity to know Jesus personally. He's alive. He's in our lives. And it allows us to have a relationship with the living Savior. And that allows us to conquer sin, to overcome it, to be God's ambassadors, to live in His likeness, and to truly know Christ and His resurrection power, guys, is to really be alive. And the one thing that really struck me in Luke 24 when I was prepping this is the one sentence in there where the guy, the bedazzled angels, called him bedazzlers, said to the ladies, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Why do we live our lives as if Jesus is dead? Why do we go to a place of the dead to look for Jesus where He's alive? He's in our lives. He's here. He's right here." And He's saying to you, He's saying, "Prepare, trade me. I've done it for you. 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 I've done it for you." You see, He will leave the 99 just for you. No man left behind. So no matter what you're going through, what your situation is, how hopeless it seems, step into a life with Christ, step into a relationship with Christ, and you'll be transformed completely, completely new. There's nothing that can have a hold on you. Yes, we sin. We're sinful. And yes, we're going to make mistakes. And yes, there's things that we deal with. But with Christ, it just makes it so much easier and so much better. And we should be living as if every day from now on is the best day ever. I'm going to pray for us. If you're struggling with something right now, if there's something in your life and you're like, "Sure, I just want to break free from this. I need to get this out of my life. I need Jesus. Jesus, I need you and I want you." I want you to just raise your hand quickly. Raise your hand. I see those hands. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your resurrection power. We thank You for what You have done on the cross for us, by taking our sins and washing those stains completely clean. And then, I thank You for that resurrection power. I thank You that You are alive and You are a part of our lives, Lord. And these things that are stopping us and holding us back and building a wall between You and me, Jesus, I let You break it down. Just come, break that wall down. Break holes through those walls, Lord. And remove that stuff. Remove the hold that that stuff has got on my life, Lord. Because in You, I am a new creation. I am made new. And from today on, I'm going to live amongst the living. The best day ever from now on. Amen.